Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Yeah, buddy, it's our 4G Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Let's get some football. There's Mike McCarthy news. Here's the Chief.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. Okay, let's go ahead and start with that news exactly. Our buddy Jordan Schultz, who broke the Deion news initially earlier this week, joined us a couple of days ago. He is now reporting that the Chicago Bears head coaching search is a two-horse race between Ben Johnson, of course, and Big Mike McCarthy. How about that, ladies and gentlemen?
Yo, Mike, I hope he gets that gig.
Two-horse race. Who's got the speed?
Clydesdale versus
I'd bet
Bronco.
Ben probably the first choice. Maybe Ben gives them the Heisman, says like, hey, I'm trying to go to Vegas with your 80s. And then Mike gets the gig. What do you think?
Doesn't that speak to how awful the Bears are?
Yes.
If Ben Johnson is choosing the Raiders.
I mean, it's a dumpster fire. They had like 20 guys on their list because so many people in there have some level of power. They all want to talk to their own guy. You know, I think this is the real reason that Mike McCarthy and Jerry Jones couldn't come to terms, because it became apparent that, you know,
if the Bears were real,
the Bears were real, and their only other real candidate was Ben Johnson. You know, agents talk, Ben's not taking that gig. Mike McCarthy's like, shoot, yeah, boy, I'm out of here. Let me get that 5 years and $40 million from Chicago.
He had to feel pretty confident.
The old fatty boom bah.
He had to feel pretty confident that he was going to be able to walk away from Jerry Jones and have something concrete.
Yeah. And, you know, I bet you could power rank the reasons, you know, and obviously, you know, the reported short offer from Jerry, the way that Jerry, you know, meddles in the coach's business, always talking about you on the air and stuff like that. I think it all came to a spot where he was like, holy crap, it's down to me and Ben Johnson? I'd much rather take the off chance that Chicago doesn't decide me or Ben Johnson takes the gig than be beholden to basically a repeat of 2024 with this Cowboys roster that's going nowhere in a hurry.
And if you're the Bears, this is a massive upgrade for you. Like, either way, I would say we don't know how good of a head coach Ben Johnson's going to be. But it is gross looking at the Chicago Bears list of head coaches since Lovie Smith. Mark Trestman going a whopping 13-19. John Fox went 14-34. Now, he was a good coach. John Fox took the Panthers to a Super Bowl, but was terrible in Chicago. Matt Nagy.
Won a Super Bowl in Denver.
Yes. Matt Eberflus. And then we just had Thomas Brown as the interim. I mean, Mike McCarthy's a massive upgrade.
You notice something by the way they've hired coaches? Have you noticed that?
Offensive here, or former old guys that are all off the same tree, it looks like, as well.
They alternate. Offense, defense. Yeah.
When are they gonna commit to all three phases and this go means, special teams?
That's why Mike McCarthy and Ben Johnson are probably the two lead candidates. They go offense, defense every time they hire a coach.
And it makes sense. You got a young quarterback now. And I guess they did when they hired Matt Nagy with Trubisky, and they had the one really good year together, and then things fell apart. So I can understand them going back to the offense. Well, that is fascinating, though. Defense, offense.
Mm-hmm.
Man, it is hilarious. Maybe they pulled up the old McCarthy watermelon smashing story and just got so fired up in that front office that they just couldn't help themselves.
Why didn't we get more awesome?
This is the guy stories for the gig. Yeah, we'll see. Like, but
smash.
Good for old Mikey Mike. Some other coaching news. How about our guy Jim Harbaugh dealing with some health issues, as we know?
His heart, right?
Hip.
Yeah. Well,
hip or heart?
He will have both. Yeah, he will have a cardiac ablation.
Oof, an ablation sounds awful.
This offseason.
Just blaze.
And hip replacement surgery. He's getting the...
titanium?
I tell you, I'm not surprised. He looked like he aged 8 years when I saw him running on the field a couple of times this year. I was like, what happened?
That's what I loved about him, dude. Despite the heart issues, the hip problems, God knows what else he's dealing with physically, he's out there running around, calling timeouts, being a leader of men. He's a foxhole guy. That's why you appreciate him. So we'll see. I'm sure he'll be back and better than ever. Probably be on the field before Trayvon Diggs, be my guess. How about this quote from Aaron Glenn? If this doesn't get you hyped, and this is the guy that we all want, right? I mean, Dion would be cool, but like,
yeah, but I'd like Aaron Glenn.
Aaron Glenn would really be special. DC for the Lions. He says, "I just happen to be on defense. I understand the offense just as well as a number of people. If you want to hire me, you're going to hire a coach." So, well-rounded, you know, defensive-minded, but maybe more of a CEO. Yeah. Yes, like that's the thing. Like he's really risen up the ranks and done a little bit of everything. So I certainly believe him when he says that. We know about his ability to just connect with the players. That's been talked about time and time again. But I think despite him being your defensive coach, and perhaps I don't know if his plan would be to be the head coach and call plays defensively. I don't know. But it seems like he would be a pretty well-rounded CEO-type coach that obviously just leans defensive. So just another notch and another sort of box checked when it comes to the idea of Aaron Glenn. Now to some of the playoff games this weekend. Of course, it's going to be cold in Buffalo. Roquan Smith, linebacker for the Ravens, says nobody cares about any of that stuff. It's about playing ball. It can be on a cement track. It can be wherever. That's a crazy person. Football and cement. He says, I don't care if it's negative degrees. We're going to be ready. Trust me, the cold will not be a factor. Believe that.
It's going to be close.
It's going to be close to negative.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it might feel a little bit like concrete when you get smacked down on that frozen turf there in Buffalo. But he's ready to rock and roll.
How bad was the turf in Philadelphia back in the day?
Oh, my gosh.
With the vet?
They canceled the game because I was in the stand or there scouting a game because it was the baseball field. And they had the pitcher's mound. There was these huge seams. Like Brian Billick and the Ravens are like, we ain't playing on this crap. But yeah, some of that turf, Texas Stadium, some of the hardest turf I've ever been on in my life.
I mean, it really, I played in some stadiums in soccer in the 80s when they had the artificial turf. And it was really just like a really thin piece of turf laid over concrete.
That's exactly what it was. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you had to wear flat, like tennis shoe styles, like basketball shoes, in order to play.
Like the AstroTurf stuff. Isn't that what they would do? Different time.
I can't believe the players could survive impacts and collisions that took them to the ground
on
that.
You've been working with me now for 5 years, and you've questioned my mental capabilities ever since.
Like, we were questioning
this dude played without a helmet. He obviously played on some bad turf.
I no longer question anything about your mental capabilities, Brian. I got you figured out.
I appreciate that. I would hope so.
But salute to you, man. Making it through the leather helmet era.
Yeah,
it was pretty incredible.
It was tough, man. It was tough. There were a lot of times where you got hit and you're like you're seeing like pink and colors and all that stuff, and you just kept playing.
That was just the Blue Dolphin.
That's why he bounced off that parking lot at Avis so well. He was used to it.
So, I'm right back up.
He'd been there before because he literally had.
I'm not going to lie, guys. That hurt. That really hurt.
I could tell. You were kind of really shaking a little bit. I felt really, really bad. I mean,
my knee driving, like, knee was skinned up bad. It was bleeding, and I soldiered on.
But at least you didn't have any like abrasions on your face, you know. That would have been the rough look, like our football coach. What was his name? Bobby?
Petrino.
Yeah.
Bobby Petrino. Hey, man, that dude, Nick,
that
dude
took that was his, a press conference and a half.
That dude took his face and slammed it against the curb like three or four times hard.
Yeah. The boyfriend of the girl that he was shagging,
knocked him down and like, boom, boom.
Got a motorcycle wreck.
It was on the back of a bike. I laid it down.
We actually need to get that hanging up here in studio somewhere, maybe in the Pimp Cup somewhere, a well-framed photo of that press conference where he's got all sorts of scrapes on his face, and he's got the neck brace on.
Crap out of him.
That is incredible. Okay, we just got Roquan Smith, Ravens linebacker, his perspective on things. Here's Josh Allen. I didn't know this particular nugget about the way the Bills go about business for home games. We all have our theme songs or whatever. And here's some. This was news to me. Here's Josh Allen.
You know, our goal is to get to the fourth quarter and have Mr. Brightside be playing. Oh. And I know the fans love that, but that gives us such a little shot of energy that you know we're going to need going into this game.
Do you ever have a signal to them on when to play it?
No, I honestly don't know when they play it. I know it's usually in the fourth quarter, though, so gets the people going.
It sure does. That place gets a rocking when they start playing Mr. Brightside.
So did you guys know that was a thing? I guess I just
saw some videos of it this year.
The players sing along with it.
They
too.
Do.
It's pretty
they're
funny.
Dancing on, like Dawson Knox goes Darson, crazy.
Yeah,
for
that's
this.
It. Yeah, he's he the loves one. It. He sings like
I think maybe
out
it was
loud.
His wife that posted the video of him getting like super hyped with the song, and that's what brought it to my attention. But I try to channel and be one with Bills Mafia this time of year.
I think you dropped Mr. Crowley in there. You know what I'm talking about, Brian? Little Osborne. Ozzy Osbourne.
Oh, wow.
Mr. Crowley.
Boom. That would get the crowd lit.
A little Black Sabbath.
Be terrifying. Yeah, it might have been Black Sabbath.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, that's cool. Yeah, even more respect for Bills Mafia.
Like my neck,
if that's what they got going on. Yeah. that's a little wild.
That is.
So we got a text. 682 says, if you're Ben Johnson, why would you want to take a job in a division with Detroit, Minnesota, and Green Bay? I would argue going to the AFC West, coaching the Raiders, and being in the division with Andy Reid and Pat Mahomes, one, and then Sean Payton and what he's already done in year one with Bo Nix, and then we talked about our guy Jim Harbaugh, like all those, like the Broncos and the Chargers with those two coaches, they're going to be solid teams pretty much year in, year out, and the Chiefs are the team. So that's a worse situation to be in if you're Ben Johnson going to the Raiders. And
that's
being
why I
in a dogfight with those guys, as opposed to even, I mean, it's two bad options. Those are two really
divisions.
Tough divisions.
I just thought Jacksonville made a lot of sense there, you know?
Because the AFC South is so bad.
And maybe the fact that he could bring somebody with him to be the personnel guy. That owner, he came out and said he would, like, if you give me a reason to fire my GM, I'll fire my GM.
Well, that's why Vegas might be more interesting to him.
It's already got the GM open there.
The Bears. Yeah, because Vegas also open. Bears, you know, I'm locked up with polls, and I don't know if he wants to be part of the polls.
Who was the GM for the Raiders before he just got bleep canned?
Tom Telesco.
Oh, Tom.
Tommy T. What do you have on Tommy T, Wolchuk?
All right, so this is a fascinating story, maybe one of my favorite draft stories of all time. There's two Byron Youngs.
This is an all-timer, dude.
This is outstanding. So a couple of years ago.
Tennessee and Alabama, right?
This is my first year doing the draft show. Oh. So we're going through. I'm watching Byron Young, Tennessee. Incredible get-off. Was like, this dude's really good. Then I go down the list. Like, there's another Byron Young, Alabama. Much bigger player, defensive tackle, maybe 5-tech type. So two Byron Youngs, spelled their name exactly the same. One definitely better than the other. So there's a report that Ram star Byron Young thought the Raiders, with Tom Telesco and Josh McDaniels at the time, were drafting him. Mm-hmm. Vegas called him. Then when his name was announced, the other Byron Young from Alabama was selected.
The worst Byron Young.
Seven picks later, the Rams selected Tennessee, good Byron Young. The Raiders might have drafted the wrong guy and then cut him.
Okay, so the Byron Young that was drafted to the Raiders has since been cut.
Yes.
And he's 2 years into his career.
Yeah.
And the other Byron Young, who everybody thinks the Raiders meant to draft on draft day,
is crushing.
Is dominating for the Rams.
Yeah.
Helping lead a defense to 9 sacks versus the Vikings,
like,
and Sam Darnold.
Can you imagine Tom Telesco and the Raiders? They're in the war room. They've just called Byron Young, and he says they did call him. And they're like, hey, we're drafting.
High five
and
each
like,
other.
Hell yes. Next thing you know,
they just
click
the wrong button, or they put in the wrong card.
Don't you get like a stack of cards that's got everybody's name on it?
It's Byron Young, Alabama. Wrong guys.
Unbelievable.
It's the exact same name, just a different school.
Spelled exactly the same, different school. They drafted the wrong one.
They drafted the wrong freaking guy. That is one of the most
amazing.
I don't know if this one's on Telesco.
Who sends
the
card?
General damn manager.
When were these guys picked? Telesco is the general manager for 2024.
Okay, so this was, what, 2023?
Yeah, this is previous. This
so
is,
who was before Telesco?
I wish it was Mike Mayock.
This is,
I want this to be Mayock.
This is a New England guy, though. This was the guy that...
McDaniel's buddy?
Yeah.
Champ Kelly?
Yeah.
Interim GM for the Raiders in 23.
Gosh.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
So Telesco was one and done there with the Raiders.
That's one
of the Chargers bleep game. Yeah.
That's one of the most Raiders stories of all time. Even Broaddus, who's been in the NFL for forever, you couldn't one-up that Raiders draft.
Or it could have been Dave
story,
Ziegler.
Broaddus.
Okay, I'm sorry to cut you off there.
It's Ziegler.
Champ
was named interim GM in October of 23, some 5 months after the draft, maybe as a result of Ziegler having this on his ledger.
Yeah, they fired McDaniels and Ziegler at the same time. Yeah.
And yeah, same position. They were both technically listed as defensive ends.
Mm-hmm. That's the most Raider thing ever. I think that might go to what Ben Johnson is looking at. Like, I'm going to get out here with Tom Brady. We're going to clear the decks, right? In Chicago, the organizational structure is so convoluted. I don't think you could get, like, full control and autonomy to do what you want. But the Raiders thing is such a dumpster fire. They've been throwing, you know, crazy darts for really a long time. But especially, you know, the last 10 years since the John Gruden hiring. Ugh. I think they're in desperate need of somebody to come in and grab the thing by the scruff of the neck, and they probably understand it's desperately needed.
Yeah, with the John Gruden thing, like, awesome content guy, like, doing great at Barstool. Mm-hmm. You do look around there, and it's a lot of guys that look like us in this room right now. But I will say, I don't get the head coaching stuff, right? Like, the dude wasn't good with the Raiders. It's been a long time since he was good.
Well, I told you the story about Clay, right? John Clay, the offensive tackle that the Raiders drafted.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He was a Missouri offensive tackle. He was the 15th overall pick.
When was this?
1987. The 15th overall pick.
The Raiders are drafting a first-round offensive lineman.
Yeah. His
name's Clay.
John Clay. He gets selected. The next day, he had back surgery.
Good God.
Like, their first-round pick went, like, from getting drafted to immediately going to... He played 12 games his entire career. Like, after his first year, they traded him.
12 games.
They traded him to the Chargers. But they drafted him. He played 12 games in his career, 15th overall pick. But he's selected and had back surgery, like, the next day.
Wow, so this drafting, this Raiders drafting of the wrong Byron Young might not be their biggest draft
gap of
all
time. It's a legacy.
It doesn't matter who's the GM, who's the head coach. They're going to find a way to make a draft mistake.
That's all-time stuff, dude.
I mean, Darius Heyward-Bey. Taking him 7th overall.
They've done some weird ones.
There's a lot of bad ones.
Henry Ruggs, you know, ahead of CeeDee Lamb. That was tough.
He's got
Jamarcus Russell. Yeah.
So are these two Byron Youngs the same exact position?
Same exact spelling of the name. Just two different schools. One Tennessee, one Alabama.
An addition to the finest in the books. Once again, a delightful addition there of football's finest with the Chief. We'll hit the expressway, go commercial free to the top. LA Live's coming up in about 15, 20 minutes. Before we get there, everything to know about a very eventful day with Jerry and Dion and all that next in the Nation.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Welcome back, Nation. Okay, we got news for you here on the Mavs and the Cowboys. Kyrie Irving questionable for tomorrow. Derek Lively still out as the Mavs get set to take on the OKC Thunder.
I guess if Kyrie's playing, there's a chance. You know, you're going to need to score a lot of points. And Daniel Gafford, Maxi Kleber, going to have to play great and give you some rim protection. But that is a tough one here as we're reeling a little bit for the Mavs in the confidence department. And, you know, OKC is going to push you back to 22-20. Once you're at 500, you're basically in play-in territory. So we'll hope for the best here with the Mavs and hope that Lively doesn't have to miss any more games after tomorrow. They get the whole weekend off. They'll be back at it on Monday. This segment of the Nation is the Expressway, and it is brought to you by our friends at the On Time Experts. And the biggest story of the day, would love your thoughts on it. The Franklin Frankel Injury Attorney text line is open. Is this developing story around Deion Sanders? How much more realistic does it seem in light of the news and the discussions? The fun started today, a couple hours before the show, with Ed Werder. He ended up going on the Dan Patrick Show, National Sports Talk Radio. And, you know, the reason Dan called him up is because Ed tweeted that he's being told that Deion would almost certainly accept it if Jerry offers the head coaching job and those around him are encouraging him to pursue it, and that Jones is enamored with the idea. Brian, what do you think? Have you seen, you know, Jerry fixated on something? Obviously, the story of Johnny and Zach Martin's
out
there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, and absolutely. And, you know, that's, but they've got to get through. As we've talked about, they've got a couple of interviews. They have to satisfy the Rooney Rule, and then things open up for them, whoever they want to be able to interview after that, then they're good to go. So, I think I personally feel like that this is Deion is trying to get more money from the university, maybe not for himself, but for his coaches. What's really interesting about Deion is he has a huge support staff at Colorado. And I'm not just talking about coaches, but he's got these trainers that, you know, that work on him with his feet and things like that. So he's got that. He's got this, you know, the social media stuff they do is incredible there. The video stuff they do, the posts that they do.
It's got to be a multi-million-dollar social media
team. He's got a huge team. And, you know, the Cowboys have that kind of a team. They have that kind of presence. They understand that. But you just wonder if Deion's going to go somewhere.
He's working his own channels. You know, he's got his own accounts.
He's on TV all the time. We see him. He's doing interviews. He's doing this, that, and the other. And, you know, he really is promoting things with himself in Colorado and, you know, and then, you know, coaching football games. But you just wonder, like, as he's trying to do all that, you know, would the Cowboys say, okay, hey, if you become the head coach, you're going to have to, we've got all that. We've got, you know, we've got the trainers, we've got the media people, we've got everything, we've got the photographers, we've got this, we've got that. You know, does he just, you know, turn his back on all that? And I think the Cowboys would have to make a decision that, like, okay, we will take your staff of 30, 40 people and bring, and if you want to bring that, then now you have to find all those people jobs too. So there's a lot going on when you sign up for Deion Sanders. And a lot of it is really, really good. It's just not the football coach. You sign up for the production of him, you know, and whatever program he's with.
There is a lot of return on that investment if you do, though. I think growing the Cowboys brand, I don't think anybody up there, for as good as they've been at growing the digital brand, can be quite as impactful, at least right now, as Deion Sanders could as far as increasing your footprint.
They would, like, if you asked Derek Eagleton, I'm sure he would tell you that they would welcome the opportunity to have that kind of access to the coaching, to meetings, to players. You know, you get a coach that understands social media stuff. The Cowboys by far lead everybody in numbers. That's one of the things that Charlotte Jones, when she goes to these meetings and the NFL puts the social engagements and all that up on the screen, and they do it with helmets and logos and stuff. And the Cowboys logo is at the far right, like just punishing everybody else who's back the other way. And so they understand the dynamics of promotion. But to have a guy like that, boy, that would be something. You talk about numbers through the roof, but you got to go win football games too. You know, that's the important thing. That's the problem that they have with DallasCowboys.com. That one year that they did, 2016, when they were winning 11 straight games and they were doing the Zeke with the feed me's and all that stuff. So The minute you start losing and you're putting out those videos, people like, you don't care about football. This is not about football. This is not, you know, it's about this and promotion and da 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 da. It's not about football.
Jerry believes you can do both at the same time.
That's what
Deion.
But that's Deion too. Yeah. And I don't fit. I just don't see, man. I know Deion would be, the stage here is huge. I just wonder about him thinking about, would he come here and just kind of leave all that at Colorado behind, which is.
Colorado would not want to continue to employ you under another coach.
No, heck no. That you would be. Now he's got to think about that.
At some point, though, you're looking out for your career, and I think I buy Ed Warder's report that no matter how complicated that is, he would take the job.
I wonder how much loyalty he's got to Colorado now that his sons aren't there.
Well, see, that's what I'm saying, though, but he's got to have loyalty to those assistants because he probably can't bring them all.
Yeah.
You know, he's probably not going to, he's going to have to, I don't think he wants to make the choice of that.
But it's a lot of NFL, you know, guys with experience,
well,
yeah, right?
So, well, the Pat Shurmur's the offensive coordinator.
You've got Shurmur's the OC.
And then you've got, I know Warren Sapp's on the staff.
Well, so Robert Livingston is his defensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. And I do think this is important to hey, who are some of these guys? And then Phil Loadholt is his offensive line coach, assistant head coach. Those would probably be the three biggest names to know.
Now, and this staff's, you know, moving on, right? Mike McCarthy's staff is all out of contract.
Yeah, it sounds like to me that now maybe this is where, you know, that Jerry can you know, help the coach. I think even if you hire Kellen Moore, I think Jerry's going to be there. Steven's going to be there suggesting, how about this guy? How about this guy? How about this guy? You know, kind of a situation. So
filling out the staff.
Yeah, we'll see what's going on too with with your analytics department over here with the Cowboys. If you have this big analytics department and then you've got a coach that's really not buying into that, do you keep that? Or Jerry's always wanting to go with a smaller staff. I mean, he and Mike went round and round when, Mike started getting rid of Leon Lett. So what did Jerry do? He got rid of Rob Davis. So next thing you know, though, George Edwards is out the door. Well, he gets rid of the offensive line coach, Joe Philbin. Mm-hmm. Jerry, they were trading prisoners for prisoners is what they were doing over there.
You know, don't you think, though, that with the amount of money and digital revenue that Deion is bringing in, you could look at Jerry and say, yes, you're spending a couple of million dollars more for my, support staff. But the money that you're going to make up on the other side, I think Jerry, speaks in those terms.
Yeah, but they're already a $10 billion company, and a lot of it has to do with exactly what you're talking about.
How do you go $20 billion?
Yeah,
it's going to be social media.
I understand. But like I say, you've got to find a way. To me, that works in college football. And it works for the Cowboys with the promotion and DallasCowboys.com and the number of writers and shows that we do over there on a daily basis. I mean, they generate a lot of money that way.
I mean, people are tuning into TV a lot less. They're not reading newspapers. No. Radio amongst the traditional media outlets is the strongest, and it's not even close.
Yeah.
Right? So you got us. But if you want to get the next generation, it is going to be through viral videos on TikTok or Instagram or YouTube or whatever, wherever that might be. So, since Tuesday, Brian, you told us about the Deion angle with maybe him trying to leverage Colorado. Gene Slater with a report about that about 90 minutes ago. Mm-hmm. One thing to watch is that two people with knowledge tell her Sanders approached Colorado AD about additional money, and he was met with resistance. Yeah. So
the same resistance he'll get when he asked Stephen Jones to
playing free agency.
Throw some cash around for some players.
Hey, can I get some free agents? Oh,
well, Deion, we're already spending $10 million on our video department.
The pie. Yeah.
You know, one of the things that I've always thought about when it comes to the business of professional sports is how teams try to keep the fan base engaged.
Yeah, have to.
A former GM, not in football, in basketball, told me sometimes we'll spend a crazy amount of money in the middle of the off season because we feel like the fan base is getting complacent or they're losing interest. Our season tickets are down. Yeah. Boom. We spend at that time, $5 to $10 million on a free agent. And all of a sudden this incredible, you know, rush of energy comes back in, as now our hardcore fans are given reason to believe that we're back in it. And even if we get out into the regular season, the business has been done. The sponsors have been sold. The season tickets have been sold. And obviously selling season tickets isn't a problem for the Cowboys. Selling sponsors isn't a problem for the Cowboys. But we heard it louder than ever after last year's massive playoff disappointment against Green Bay that people have lost faith. So if you can't sell faith and hope that the team is going to be a champion, you can get, you know, just as much, if not more, attention and engagement through Deion Sanders. And maybe he turns out to be the perfect developmental coach for you to continue this rebuild and then maybe emerge in 26 and 27 ready to compete. So it's a very interesting storyline. We'll continue to track it here in the G-Bag Nation for you. You know, you mentioned the Rooney Rule, and you have to interview two minority candidates before you hire. And, you know, hiring Deion Sanders would not excuse you from interviewing another minority candidate.
Right.
But now you're looking at three.
Yeah.
Now it would be Deion, Frazier, and Robert Saleh, which would make me feel like that decreases the chances that Deion is just a Rooney Rule interview.
I believe that Deion is a serious consideration.
Oh, I think he's serious.
I don't think that's a Rooney Rule deal.
I think he's serious to Jerry. Is Jerry going to have to be convinced from Steven and Will and, you know, others who he listens to? And we know that's the one thing Jerry's going to do. He's probably going to field a call from Michael Irvin. He's going to field a call probably from Troy Aikman. He's going to ask a lot of people about this hire.
And maybe with Belichick and Sean Payton, you know, he gets overruled because those two gentlemen are going to disrupt our personnel department so much and the way we go about things.
Sure.
But Deion's not going to disrupt it. Do you think Jerry Jones could still overrule every other important voice in that organization and bring Deion here against the wishes of the others?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because I think there's things that Steven will fight him on. I don't know if he'll fight. This could be Jerry Jones' last hire. Very well could be. So, you know, Steven might give him this one, you know. Now, they'll try and say, hey, this is why I would do it or why I wouldn't do it, but this likely is Jerry Jones' last hire. So, you know, I think he's going to get a lot of latitude from his staff.
And what did Jane say about this being a Jerry solo mission right now?
Yeah, basically this is what her indication is. It's Jerry, and he's on a solo mission. Yeah. So he was making the calls with Deion. That was him, according to Jane, from what she had heard. So Steven wasn't really very much involved with that. So, yeah, I do think hiring Deion is a total Jerry Jones move. And maybe right now he's feeling like he's here in the tea leaves, right? I mean, like, this is probably the worst, as we talked about earlier, Cowboy fans are feeling since you went 5-11, 5-11, 5-11, you bring in Bill Parcells.
Yeah.
The difference is you don't need a stadium to be built now, but you need something to get the fan base a little bit energized again. Because, I mean, you'd like to think it's your quarterback coming back from injury. But right now, I don't think that fan base was already torn on should you pay him or not.
Maybe I'm giving Jerry too much credit for this as well, but if it is my last hire, I wouldn't want my career to end with have never hired a black coach. You know, I just think that would be a sad way, you know, and a sad cap on a legacy that leaves a lot of ambiguity for what my actual position is. If I also have that on my ledger, you know, I don't think that reflects very well. Maybe he's thinking legacy in that regard as well, or maybe he just recognizes Deion as a brilliant businessman, a CEO, and a guy who's had a tremendous amount of success at Jackson State and Colorado and elevated both of those programs. 817, it's a damn joke. You don't have a chance if he gets the job, but hey, it'll make great radio when you keep losing. I don't know that he's got no chance. I mean, evaluate that last statement. Didn't he elevate Jackson State? Didn't he elevate Colorado?
Sure.
Didn't he put together a good coaching staff?
Colorado was a 1-11 football team before he got there.
Their win-loss this year, I think, was at like 5 was the over-under. They won 8 games. They were competing to win the Big 12.
Yeah.
I mean, he definitely...
A bad loss against Kansas cost him an opportunity to play.
And the bowl game wasn't good. Like, I understand it, but he took that program from irrelevant to very, very relevant, and they did win games.
214, Jerry just wants to sell and not win. It's not a zero-sum game. You know, he wants to sell about 1% or 2% more than he wants to win. You know, he definitely wants to win. I mean, can you imagine the amount of money that would come along with winning, how much easier it would be to sell? But, you know, I believe Jerry and Steven when they say they want to win, just not above anything else. Winning can't come at the cost of engagement and,
you know, and margins and things like that. All right, at 877-881-1053, Witten already has the job, says the 214. That's the other part of Ed Werder's report today that, you know, the high probability, depending on who is hired as head coach, that Jason Witten will be included in the staff. There were scenarios discussed with McCarthy when he was hired, so he's confirming all of that. And, yes, it would definitely resemble the Wade Phillips-Jason Garrett type of arrangement. Obviously, Jason Garrett was a more accomplished coach by the time that whole thing was initiated.
Sure.
And that would be weird. You know, I don't know if you're the head coach, you know, you would ever be quite comfortable with that. But if you get to become the head coach of the Cowboys, there's no guarantee. But boy, a lot of people believe that Jason Garrett ultimately sabotaged Wade Phillips in order to get that deal done. Okay, LeBron's manager leading an upstart to rival the NBA. Yeah. That one is interesting. Wildfires forcing the PGA Tour to move the Genesis tourney. It was really interesting. They got that indoor golf thing in there the other night at SoFi with all that going on, but I guess that's a little bit south and inland.
No, that place they play, have it built, it's in Palm Beach.
Oh, I see.
It's SoFi's name is being used as a sponsor for, but that's in West Palm where they have that stadium.
Joe Mixon now questionable to play against the Chiefs. Damian Pierce was rumbling, though, right? He's a productive player. I think you'd rather have Mixon, but that's not a deal breaker, right? That's not going to be the reason you lose to the Kansas City Chiefs, is it?
No, I don't think it'll be the reason they lose to him. They have plenty of other reasons. I think their play caller and their offensive line will be a big, big problem.
All righty. It is time now to go into the Pimp Cup where Lucius Alexander has a Thursday night edition of LA Live.
Check. All right, listen. Yeah. It is a thirsty Thursday. Ladies night edition of LA Live right after the great Rick James.
All right, you squares. It's time to smoke.
Yes, it is.
Fire up this funk and let's have a toe.
Just a little bit.
It'll make you dance with some of everything.
Under 4 ounces, which is a QP.
It's called the husband store. And you can go there and shop for a husband. There are 6 floors in this store. You can only visit each floor one time, though. And each floor you go up, the value increases. So there was a woman who went to the husband store to find herself a husband. On the first floor, the sign on the door read, "These men have jobs." Floor 2 says, "These men have jobs and love kids." Floor number 3 said, "These men have jobs, love kids, and are extremely good looking." Wow, she thought, this is sounding pretty good, but I'm compelled to go on to the next floor. Well, she does go to the 4th floor, and the sign reads, "These men have jobs, love kids, are drop-dead good-looking, and they help with the housework." Oh, mercy me, she said. I can hardly stand it. Still, she said, I've got to go on. She went to the 5th floor. "These men have jobs, love kids, are drop-dead gorgeous, help with the housework, and have a very strong romantic streak." But she couldn't stand it. She decided she had to just find out what was on floor number 6. Floor number 6 said, "You are visitor 31,456. To this floor, there are no men on this floor. This floor exists solely as proof that women are impossible to please."
Yes, it is a ladies' night here in LA Live on a Thursday, January 16th, 2025. It is always for the ladies. Yes, shout out to the lady Tolos, always listen. You're probably forced to listen because your significant other is a Tolo, but hey, this segment right here is for you. It's always for the ladies. Splish splash.
Oh, girl, baby girl.
That's right, baby girl. Hold on, I got some more for y'all. Hold on, where you at, ladies? There we go. What else I got for you guys?
Oh, you gotta give him that huck.
Yeah, baby. Yeah.
Oh, what a night.
Yeah. And let's see. Something respectful.
First of all, you don't joke around with women.
That's right. You sure don't. You sure don't. They say diamonds are a girl's best friend. I know you heard that before. I believe the De Beers group came up with that slogan because they own all those darn diamond mines. And they say, we got to get rid of all these precious rocks. Let's make them more precious by a good marketing campaign.
Genius.
Diamonds are forever. Diamonds are a girl's best friend. Did you see that the diamond prices have fallen to their lowest level this century?
Really?
No. Diamond prices to the ground right now. Experts say it's due to the low demand. Okay. All right.
Less people getting hitched.
I can see that.
Maybe the economy.
Lab-grown diamonds.
Oh, yeah, the fakes.
Are they fake? Are they fake?
They're real diamonds.
They're real diamonds.
They're real diamonds, yeah. They're just not
They don't take 100 years to make.
No. Chemically real.
Yeah, I guess. Or, yeah, it has all the elements of a diamond.
Yeah.
And they just reproduce it fast. What is that? That how they print? They 3D printed diamonds, in a sense. Yeah, that's from Bank of America. Lab-grown diamonds have made the diamond little market cheaper and more affordable. So, yeah, keep that in mind when you're shopping for your lady. She says she wants a diamond. They're a little bit cheaper. Now,
I like my diamonds like I like my boobs, you know, made from God.
Okay.
Yep. Okay. I don't need any lab-grown tatas.
I'm not mad at the lab-grown diamond. I'll throw a lab-grown diamond on any time.
Nothing wrong with
that. Yeah, I'm not afraid of that. I'm not Lil Flip. I'm not Birdman from Cash Money. I don't have to have the realest diamonds. I don't care if you test them, because wouldn't they survive a tester? Because they're real diamonds at the sense. Huh?
Yeah, I bet if we went side by side, I'd give you a lab grown and a real one. You'd tell me the lab grown looks better.
It's probably hella clarity. Gray, what is it?
Extreme clarity. Yeah, yeah.
VVS.
Because, I mean, my dad showed them to me, did the exact same thing. And I was like, the lab grown looks way better than the real one does. And he said, well, that's the real one.
Because it's a higher cut in clarity.
Yeah. There's no difference between the two. They look fantastic.
Yeah, I'll purchase one. What I don't like is these young fellows that get all that money and they go get like an expensive watch, a Rolex or a Patek, a Richard Mille, an Audemars Piguet or something like that, and then they bust it down. Like they customize it where they put all these diamonds in it and it's not the same watch anymore. It loses its value. You cannot resell that watch like you want to. I'm not hating on you. If you can afford it, do what you want to do. As long as you want to keep that watch forever at that value.
Yeah, the custom jewelry doesn't have a resale value. It's like a car.
I want the original, how it goes. I want to put my name on the list. Yeah. Name on the list. I'm getting all the certifications and everything. I get approved to get it. I want all of that.
Yep.
For my watch, because they hold their values and they actually go up in value. We get the vibe right on a Thirsty Thursday ladies night. Look, keep sweat coming at you on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you enjoy your ride home, ladies, fellas, too. Your tolos, turn it on, leave it on, listeners, to The Fan. Speaking of going down like the diamond prices, TikTok is out of here. It's fighting for his life.
Goners.
Fighting for his life, at least.
No buyers. We can't get that thing bought before.
Now, here's the thing about that buyer. Hold on 1 second, brother. Stay. Okay. Oh! God, stop! That's a groove, boy. That's a groove right there. I need a Regal. On some Vogues. 120 spokes.
Curve feelers,
all of that. Sunroof.
Yeah.
My girl's feet on the dashboard. Yeah. Little roadie in my lap, cuz. Reaching that ashtray, girl.
Yeah.
Light that up for me. All right. Yeah, TikTok prepares to shut down the app in the U.S. maybe this Sunday, possibly. Now, I hear about that buyers thing, which I thought was weird because they never said we were going to sell. It's just all of a sudden everybody just say, hey, I'm going to buy it, though.
Yeah.
But you're not going to sell. Be 170 million Americans will lose their favorite app. The Biden administration said they will leave it up to Trump to implement the TikTok ban, which may be a good sign because the CEO of TikTok will be at Trump's inauguration. He says, I don't want to lose my 170 million subscribers to this situation. Maybe I can kiss some butt real quick and get it back right.
Drop 10, 20 mil off in the right, you know, coat pocket. I think you'd be good to go. And they'd probably make a tour of D.C. there, line the right pockets and get on back.
Now, that move has TikTok fans a little upset. So they're jumping to this new app called Red Note.
Oh, I heard about that.
Yeah, they're jumping to Red Note fan base. That was made by Isaac Hayes III.
Oh, of the son? Is he the son of the famous one?
And there's a lot of influencers out here shaking in their boots.
I saw some videos talking about that these influencers might take a big hit on the loss.
They are shaking in their boots, brothers. Yeah. They don't know what to do. Yeah. They've gotten so used to making this influencer money that they're stuck like Chuck.
Yeah.
About to lose my job on TikTok as an influencer. I just wanted to clarify a few things. My house, I pay $2,000 a month for my house. And then I just bought a 2025 Mercedes SUV. So let's just clarify that.
Sorry, man.
You guys were wondering like what I meant by that. So in total, I pay like probably almost $10,000 in bills and food and just my lifestyle. I also want to thank everybody for everyone who sent me money on Venmo. I was able to get a total of $6,000 already. Like, that's so nice. Like, no one's ever done anything like nice for me before. But yeah, guys, right now I'm...
Bro, that edit! First of all, that edit that is nice. Insane.
Wow.
Yeah. That edit is so wild.
$6,000 already. Like, that's so nice. Like, no one's ever done anything like nice for me before. But yeah, guys,
but
right
I'm
now
back.
I'm
right on back.
That is a wild
TikTok
bro.
Fan. Production. Like, what are us influencers really gonna do?
Hmm?
Like, we have nothing to go to. So I probably gonna sue the government.
Oh.
Because without TikTok, there is no me, there is no influencer. My bills are too high to work at McDonald's. Like, that's just not gonna ever happen. That's just not a thing.
Yeah. Some of those,
the government usually works.
Some of those folks have like branched off though into other fields, like with jewelry sales or other, you know,
yeah.
clothing lines and
yeah.
stuff like
boutiques
that.
Boutiques and drop
yeah,
shippings so, and whatnot.
Yeah, they just didn't rely on just the TikTok. They took their money and diverse and went to another.
I didn't know TikTok was paying like that.
Oh yeah.
What are you posting for TikTok to pay you like that?
These people have got hundreds of millions of followers and stuff.
Like
they gotta
watch for a minute, and as soon as you get a minute, you get a dollar or something like that.
Crazy.
Like, I know Spencer Pratt's been out here blowing up with all this with the wildfire stuff, and he's been talking about, like, he's been posting nonstop TikToks because that's how he's being able to make money and provide for the family right now.
So, and then there's product placement, you know, like companies can have you unbox something and give you 10, 20 grand if you got enough viewers.
Jeez, man.
Yeah, they're stacking
cash.
I'm
worried about this YouTube stuff, man. It's amazing. These subs, they're all, everybody's, you get more subs, more money. It's crazy, you know, what you do.
Well, that's a good American company.
Yeah,
you know,
really
I
good,
think
yeah.
if you've been doing business with Chinese partners, commies essentially, you know, don't be surprised. You know,
wait, what? What happened?
TikTok's Chinese, right?
Yeah, it is Chinese.
Yeah.
That's illegal.
Yeah, they're scraping our data and then using it against us.
Like, wait a minute. Yeah. Like every other app we sign up
the
to.
The algorithm. Yeah,
every
I know,
other app,
but that's more toxic.
It.
Isn't TikTok more toxic?
What do you mean? I don't know.
I think it is.
I don't know if it's more time. I don't know. I know there's a lot of rumors and stuff that fly on there, and people think it's the darn truth.
Yeah.
I've seen it because my girl grabbed me. Oh, my God, did you know this? Mm. And I'm like looking at it like, I think that's bull crap.
Yeah,
but I don't know.
Conspiracy.
There's some very creative people with it, though.
Very much.
They are. They kind of help you with some stuff. But, yeah, there's a lot of junk on there, too.
There's a lot of junk on there. But
yeah.
Very...
I like when people cook on it. That's one of my favorite things. Like, they make meals and stuff. How to do something. Yeah.
Cooking with somebody went viral.
Always cook.
Yeah.
I love those shorts when they cook, you know, like those little short videos.
Like the Daisy Dukes that they're wearing when they're cooking.
That too, if you want to throw it in there, sure.
I thought your algorithm was talking to you. You like cooking.
I love those
How about you like cooking with these shorts?
This is a
no
deadline.
Top.
This is a deadline make deals type of thing though, right? It's going to be fixed by Sunday.
That's what I'm probably. I mean, if he's going out there to the inauguration on Monday.
Yeah,
you're not going to shut me down Sunday, and I'm out there, you know, hanging out at your street party on Monday.
I saw like an hour ago Biden has made this Trump's deal. Is that what you're building off of here? Yeah, okay. So Biden's like, I'm not making a decision
this
on it. Let Trump
problem.
Make a decision on it. Trump has him at the party.
You know, by the way, I give it to Trump.
By the way.
Yeah, you said those people are very creative on there.
Yeah, they are.
I was listening to one of my favorite podcasts, and they played it. This TikTok girl who made a breakup song. About this boy she met from Texas. She met a Texas bed warmer. Yeah, she met a Texas bed warmer, broke her heart. She changed her whole life for her. Now, she cannot write songs. She's not a songwriter. That's what makes the music funny. She can't sing and she can't write a song, but she did both.
Imagine you live in LA with your boyfriend and everything's going amazing till he says, babe, I want to move back to Texas to be closer to my dad. So you give up half of your career, quit your improv troupe and have a goodbye party, take
months of work, deplete your savings to pay for movers and drive to Texas.
Yeah.
So worth it for the love of your life.
That like Chick 182.
It's average Levine.
Very average Levine. Bad Charlotte.
Till he comes back from a family vacation. He sits on your couch, which just arrived in the mail and hands you a note that says we have nothing in common and we're incompatible. Oh no.
Oh no. Anyway.
Very Rebecca Black Friday-esque.
Friday. Yeah.
Rebecca
Friday.
Whack.
Really good down on Facebook. Pretty funny stuff right there. Julian Levine, I believe her name is. Julian Levine.
Maybe related to Avril.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. Maybe.
Adopted.
G-Bag of the Day. We do it every weekday on the Fan at 2:30. If you see anything floating out there, how much does YouTube pay?
Better. Okay, so I have like 6,000 subs. I get like between 100 and 2,000 plays on videos, do about 5 videos a week, and maybe I get $300. So better than X, but not nearly as much as the TikTok folks.
They own your content, though, right?
Yes.
It's like a partnership.
Yeah. I was, you know, the YouTube folks that really go to like 100,000, like once you're at 100,000 subs, you can support yourself.
Yeah,
you know?
that's what I was hearing, that the people that were right at or over 100,000 were basically like $1 a sub. Is what it, and that's just by having having that number.
Jeez.
I guess TikTok's all about the brands, it looks like the brand partnerships and sponsors. That's how a lot of them make their money.
You just got to find a good platform to put your podcast.
Yep.
I've been told a million times, man, you need to do a podcast, LA. You need to do a podcast. And I never have. And now I feel like the game is oversaturated.
Yeah.
I feel like it's just, you know, you're out of control.
Well, and it's going to take you months and months and months.
Years.
Yes. Years.
Yeah. Years, bro. Yeah. 5 years before somebody actually notices that I'm doing something down there.
Yeah.
Pause.
Well, and plus, you know, you got to learn how to make the thumbnail and the title, right? It's got to be an unfair thumbnail and title combination to get the click through, right? Because you're competing with so many people. Yeah. You got to get them to click on your thing. And then you have to somehow pay off with not offending them that you lied with the title and thumbnail. So it's a really tough.
It's a dirty
work.
Game.
Yeah.
It's a dirty game out there. Yeah. 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 And I want to own the content too. If I'm going to put that much work in, I want to own the content. All right. Well, it was G Back of the Day. We do it every weekday on the Fan at 2:30. If you see anything floating out there, what you guys have been doing, and you're sending it to me, thanks. At Lucky Lucius P on social media, Lucius Alexander on Facebook, or you can follow us all if you find G Back Nation on Twitter. Man, this one right here. It's been sent to me by everybody that listens to this station, and I appreciate you. This is AI Jerry Jones on why he moved on from Coach Mike McCarthy.
I fired Mike McCarthy because he looks like a pork chop. Damn. And I hate that big-ass play call sheet he holds during games. We all know it's a Perkins menu. I'm not even sure we need a coach. Hell, maybe we already have a coach in mind. Maybe he's sitting right in front of you, half drunk on Johnny Walker Blue with only an Egg McMuffin in his belly.
Hilarious.
A pocket full of dinger pills. Maybe he's 82 years old and needs his ass wiped from time to time, depending on how much Salisbury steak he's ate. Look, I'm going to do things my way, and my way is f***ing terrible. But if you don't like it, then tough t- he said the kitty, but the milk kept coming. Listen, I'm never going to die, mother. I drink 8 ounces of hog's blood every day, and I'm a vampire feeding off mass disappointment. So learn how to accept meaningless primetime games forever. What I'm looking for in our next head coach is someone that values analytics and also someone that lets me take he and his wife to a Hojo's and sit in the cuck chair.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Still not quite sure how all that works, but it's hilarious.
I want to think you're special. Well, I'm pretty sure he paid for the room. Yeah. I wonder what negotiation happens between Jerry and the woman. Or is it Jerry? Yeah, husband? Don't worry about it. You're probably the husband, right?
I don't know,
man. I don't know. Anyway, I'll be back tomorrow, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. That is my time on a Thirsty Thursday Ladies Night Edition. Y'all be safe out there. My name is Lucius Alexander. I will holla.
Thank you, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation. You're on the Fan. No, 903. That's not $300 a day. That's $300 a month. And before taxes. So it's definitely a hobby more than a second job or anything like that. But, it's fun. Turn on the camera there at the house. Talk about anything you want to and see if anybody cares. Okay, Chuck Wagon's coming up next. Zachariah, where are you taking us?
Ryan Day versus Lou Holtz, and who really is the owner of Christmas Day? That's next.